ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm here!
Come on! It's almost the Stephanie Miller Show.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere.
Talk, you whore!
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You're just cranky because the gay protesters have been keeping you up all night.
My God, the helicopters were flying over my place all night
long. I'm for civil rights. I'm for civil rights. I gotta go to bed!
I woke up extra sweaty in the middle of the night because I had to close the windows. Like, for crying out loud, people.
Hey, Prop 8 people, shut up for now. We'll get into it in the morning.
Well, yeah.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lots of big, big news to talk about today. Of course, the nomination yesterday of Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court.
I am an ordinary person who has been blessed with extraordinary opportunities and experiences. Today is one of those experiences.
Aww.
And the president yesterday on his nomination.
It's a measure of her qualities and her qualifications that Judge Sotomayor was nominated to the U.S. District Court by a Republican president, George H.W. Bush, and promoted to the Federal Court of Appeals by a Democrat, Bill Clinton.
Oh, by the way, Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, we wondered how quickly someone would get to the A word, activist judge.
She had a history of activism. I think she needs to address that. I think she's entitled to a full and fair new evaluation. She shouldn't be biased by that.
Wow.
What activism?
The crazy train has started. You'll love this, Jim. Yesterday, I'm watching the TV, and Tom Tancredo.
Oh boy!
I said Congressman Tom Tancredo called her a racist.
I think he's a former congressman. I don't even think he's in office anymore.
Tom Tancredo. You see, he's the pretty much. He made a career on being a what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a racist against Hispanic people. He said she's a racist. Okay. Or, by the way, as Mike Huckabee calls her, Maria.
Yeah. Maria?
The most beautiful sound I ever heard.
We'll get to that later. Yeah, because, you know, all Hispanic women are from, particularly Puerto Rican women from New York are...
Oh, God.
Maria.
Yeah. Call Maria.
Yeah, he wrote a post where he called her Maria the whole time.
Maria, Maria, Maria.
He just met a girl named Maria.
Maria.
He might want to get her name right before he starts criticizing.
Maybe Huckabee's big on musicals.
Okay. All right. Meanwhile, yesterday we talked about the hilarious story that Mancow, the right-wing, excessively loud right-wing radio host,
he's very loud,
got waterboarded to prove that waterboarding isn't torture and came to the conclusion after 6 seconds that waterboarding is torture.
After he threw his toy cow across the room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mancow, cow. Mancow. Hilarious.
Pig boy. I call
he's one
boy.
Of them there, loud right-wing radio hosts.
Shock jock, if you will.
He submitted to waterboarding on the air to show it's not torture.
We're going to do it on five, okay?
Okay.
One, two, alive.
All right, that's it.
That's funny. And he lasted about 6 seconds.
That's what his wife said, too.
That's what she said.
Oh, God. Mancow is soaked.
That's what she said.
Oh.
We all got a little water on him.
That's what she said.
How you doing, buddy? How long is the average person? Can they take this?
About 14 seconds.
He agreed to this stunt, hoping that he would be able to say affirmatively the interrogation tactic does not constitute torture. Turns out the stunt wasn't so funny. Witnesses say Mueller thrashed on the table and even instantly threw the toy cow he was holding.
I do not want to say this. Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Ha! All right. Thank you, Ken in Cleveland. Lord. All right, by the way, you can tweet Chris LaVoy at StephanieMiller.com as well.
Yes, you can.
As did
Not
Eric.
Not if you want to.
Hmm?
Huh?
No. Sure you As Dick Eric, who I am preemptively making the smartest boy in class this morning on the Prop 8 ruling yesterday.
Actually, Eric, who owns Phone Show, who's a fine sponsor of the Stephanie Miller News.
Oh, Phone Show.
Yes. He said the Supreme Court decision is more like the Nuremberg Laws in 1935. Jews married to Germans could stay married, but no new marriages were permitted.
Mm. Oh, wasn't that nice of them to let the... Now, Jews stay married to
I'm loath to compare anything to Nazi Germany.
Normally,
however,
you would say, yes, exactly.
However,
playing really bad analogy.
That the resemblance between those two laws are a little eerie.
Except there's pretty much no danger of homosexuals being sent to camps.
Yes, exactly.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, however, someone else I heard made a good point yesterday that we would probably have no President Barack Obama had we put to a vote whether there could be interracial marriage back in the day, which I thought that was a good point as well.
Yeah.
Seriously, if you had put that to a vote when we made interracial marriage legal, it wouldn't
There'd
obviously
There'd be no Barack Obama.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you. All right. So let's see, what else here was I going to Oh, by the way, speaking of
And thanks for playing Really Bad Analogies.
Would you like to hear the award winner for Really Bad Analogies on the gay marriage ruling yesterday in California?
Oh, yeah, I sent this to you. Oh. Someone posted this on my Facebook page.
Anti-gay marriage people say grandfathering gay marriages, letting the 18,000 people couples that are already married stay married.
Uh-huh.
That's akin, that would be akin to letting landowners keep slaves after abolition.
What? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
What's their reasoning, Stephanie?
Oh, funny you should ask. I have the press release here from the Liberty Council.
Oh.
That's the law firm that represents the California Campaign for Families. Meaning straight families.
Straight families.
Yes.
No other kind of family counts.
No.
Computer says no.
That's their point.
Okay.
The press release compares letting gay people stay married after today's ruling to letting slaves stay owned in America after slavery was abolished. Yes, you've heard that right. They actually brought our country's greatest civil rights victory into an argument about taking civil rights away from another minority group. So for that, you have to give them the CONUS award.
Marriage is akin to slavery. Well, they kind of have a point.
Hey!
As the divorce person of the Stephanie Miller Show. Yes, the release says a constitutional amendment like this one means that going forward, that which happened in the past is no longer recognized. When the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution was ratified, slavery was abolished. Slave owners could not claim grandfather rights to own another person. The irony here, amazing, especially considering the frequency with which the Bible, yes, the same Bible that has triggered all this gay hating, has for 18 centuries been used by some to justify the ownership of slaves.
That's right.
Passages in the Bible not only condone slavery, but in some cases provide regulations for it.
Right.
Yes.
Like how severely you can beat your slave.
Exactly. Right. And other moral issues of our day. And provide regulations for it. And only in the late 17th century, when slavery began to fall out of moral favor, did some Christians begin to change their tune on the subject. Hopefully, it won't take quite so long with gay marriage. Interesting posting.
You know, I can understand why there will always be people who are, they're just never going to be really comfortable with the whole gay marriage thing, but get over it.
Civil rights is never comfortable in the beginning. It's always a little itchy and scratchy. But
there's so many real problems to worry about. Yeah.
Well, Chris and I were talking about this, Jim. I'll have to, as an ex-Catholic girl, step into the confessional booth here. But can I just say this whole proposition thing, and it's not just because this one didn't come out the way I want. It's ridiculous, this whole proposition thing in California. This is why we're bankrupt. Because, look, these latest ones we just voted on, it's like, would you like all these things that sound really good? Everyone voted.
Computer says yes.
Would you like to have any taxes for them?
Computer says no.
We're not qualified to run the state, for God's sake.
And in no way, shape, or form should the Constitution of the state of California be allowed to be changed with a simple majority vote.
Yeah.
Because then you get tyranny of the majority.
Because this is what I'm afraid of, is we're just going to keep voting back and forth on this thing. I mean, it was still pretty close. About half of the people here voted for gay marriage. About a little over half voted against.
Well,
it's like,
I think some people thought they were voting for gay marriage by voting for Prop 8. That was the other thing, exactly.
That and the $1 billion the Mormons put in here. But
Mormons and other people.
Anyway, I mean, I'm not saying, but you made this point about this is why we have elective government.
This is why we have a democratic republic form of government. We elect people to make decisions for us.
Right.
Here's where I need to, I have to have you take your organ out for me. And I'm someone you would assume would be fairly politically aware, being what I do for a living and all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really
know how government works.
No, I don't really read the propositions that.
Oh, Stephanie.
I try. I know you get the little pamphlet, and I try to. It's like homework. I'm busy. I you know what I'm saying? How deep an understanding do most people have? I do this for a living, and I read them when I go in the thing, and I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Yes, I'll.
Computer says yes.
Okay.
And we don't really talk about them a whole lot on this show.
Not
because
slapping the food out of
Because it's a local issue. I mean, you know, people in New York and Chicago don't care.
Yeah. Not slapping the food out of poor babies' mouths? Okay, yes, I'm for that. Yes. But you know what I'm saying?
The whole initiative process is really screwed up.
It is.
Yeah. Usually they're poorly written or are masking some...
No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying is look at what we do for a living. I'm a pundit on TV, for God's sakes, and I don't... I even when I'm reading them, I'm going, oh, you know, I should have probably read this more. I don't really. You're just. And then the other thing is, I mean, there's the dueling commercials, so you kind of have that very rudimentary, like, oh, okay, well, they said this that, and they said this. And I mean, seriously, you know the time you'd have to spend to really understand every single proposition that they put on the ballot out here, you know?
Here's what you do is read the fine print. The last one on the list are the people who are really funding it, and then you know what their agenda really is.
Exactly. That's how I tell which is which.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how Chris fell for the people that are for the keeping of chickens and cats. Ages.com.
Let's not even go there.
Whatever.
But, you know, they have these highfalutin names, people for decency and niceness. Who can be against that?
Yeah.
And funded by the oil and tobacco companies.
Right.
Anyway. Exactly. Yeah, Chris. When it's funded by Colonel Sanders, that might be a little tip off.
I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Thank you.
Whatever.
You
He's
going to
say something else, right wing. Tully, I was going to make another point of a perfect example of mob rule here that I think has been a disaster in practice is three strikes. Am I right? See, Chris is going to be right-wing Tully and say, oh, I like it.
I like three strikes.
Three strikes. This is another thing that all these right-wing whack radio hosts out here were like, yeah, we need three. And so we voted three strikes in, and now in practicality, the famous case, some kid went to prison for life for stealing a piece of pizza.
He shouldn't have done it the first two times.
That was his third strike. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
but
the punishment has to fit the crime. And if you get put in prison for life for jaywalking because it's your third, that's an extreme example. But that's what's been happening. There are people who are taking up space in prison who shouldn't be there.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I'm just saying it's another example of an emotional, like, mob rule kind of issue that we put it to a vote, and it's like, okay, it passed, and now it's exactly why we're bankrupt. Because, you know what I mean? Like, they put everything on a proposition. We're like, yeah, we want that. Yeah, yay for lollipops and ponies. And like, you know, when you ask anything, like, do you want to pay for it this way? No.
Computer says no.
No.
Pay for it? What?
Property tax? No.
Computer says no.
No. So anyway, that's, to me, what the problem is now with the, what do you call it?
Propositions.
Prop 8 in particular.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour. Huh. I got that out of my craw.
Yeah, you did.
I had quite a full craw this morning.
Uh-oh. Is there more?
Yes, I'm good. Well, unfortunately, we're going to let Bill O'Reilly have a word on Prop 8.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
I bet it was more than a word.
Family values a practitioner, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
When we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, baby, I was thumbing through the dictionary, trying to find words to describe you. I found one. You know what it is? It's
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Congressman John Larson of the great state of Connecticut coming up next hour to talk about the Supreme Court pick, North Korea, the economy, and much more. And Dennis Herrera, city attorney in San Francisco, calling in hour 3 to talk about Prop 8.
He's the city attorney for San Francisco.
Exactly.
For all of the city.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Brian in Miami on ManCow. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Stephen the Mooks. He was on Keith Olbermann's show last night at the very end.
I saw it.
Yeah, I thought it was great that he actually, he manned up. I've heard his show a couple times. I generally don't like his show, but he manned up and he basically said, you know what? this is not just torture. This is worse than torture because, you know, he related that he had drowned as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Brian, don't you love that this is what our society has come to, what the entire world has known since the Spanish Inquisition, that waterboarding is torture? We need some shock jock named Mancow to confirm it for us.
It's just so weird. Like, he has to, they just can't take it that it's been established that it's torture. They have to have it done to them,
right,
and they have to just almost
die. No, I know. But how sad is that? That, you know, we have Geneva Conventions. We have, you know, a million international accords that we've signed. We prosecuted the soldiers in World War II that did it to us. And like, but in this day and age, it's like there is a segment, right, Brian, that goes, oh, Mancow says it is. Okay.
The unfortunate part, though, was like, well, not unfortunate, it was really funny, actually, was that the waterboarding procedure they did to him was with a jug that, I mean, I've got a jug that exactly the same way that I keep iced tea in, and it didn't even get, I think he got maybe a glass worth of water on his face.
I know. No, I know. Even he admitted that it didn't look even that bad.
Right.
That's the whole point. All right. Let me give you the polling fun facts in the wake of the Prop 8 decision yesterday. CNN polling has shown a slim majority of, as I was saying, it's about even. A slim majority of Americans are against same-sex marriage. 54% questioned in the poll say marriage should not be, gay marriage should not be valid. 44% it said it should be considered legal. But this is the point everybody makes in polling, is there is a huge gap between the opinions of younger and older people.
Yep.
So, you know, that's what people are saying, like any civil right, it's just going to take time. Nearly 6 in 10, Jim. That's
60%.
Right, that's now? About almost 60%. Mm-hmm. Younger people, nearly 6 in 10, age 18 to 34, 60% approve of same-sex marriage. Just over 4 in 10 people, age 35 to 49, agreed. The number similar for 50 to 64-year-olds. Only 24% of people, 65 and older, agreed. I told you my mom, my 86-year-old Republican mom.
Yes.
Who's not, you know, racist or homophobic or whatever. But she's just like, oh well, dear Steffi, that's just the way it's always been. A man,
it's like,
and a woman.
It's like New Coke. You don't mess with the formula.
Exactly. In the marriage debate, changing for some Republicans, though, as well. You know, the Steve Schmidt was the most famous one recently. He was John McCain's campaign manager.
Yep.
He said there is a sound, which I think this is very Barry Goldwater-esque. He said there is a sound conservative argument to be made for same-sex marriage. I believe conservatives, more than liberals, insist that rights come with responsibilities. No other exercise of one's liberty comes with greater responsibility than marriage. In a marriage, two people are completely responsible to and for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Steve Schmidt. Very good point. All right. So let's see. About 100 people were arrested in San Francisco last night. I don't know if we had arrests here in L.A. But
we did not have arrests here in L.A.
We had protests.
Yes, we did.
Okay. The police gave the crowd more than an hour to vent their anger and sadness at the Supreme Court's ruling upholding Prop 8. Here's my... We'll talk about this when we get back. The arrests went so smoothly, they seemed choreographed. Give me the details on that as we continue. 28 minutes
Foxy,
after
Foxy,
the hour.
Tase me.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Quite a feat.
Stephanie Miller.
A total recluse. She hasn't appeared in public in 20 years.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Lots to talk about this morning. The Supreme Court nomination, the Prop 8 ruling, and much more. Here, it just was my favorite part of the story. The 100 protesters that were arrested in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
the Prop 8 protesters, the story goes, the arrests went so smoothly they seemed choreographed, which in a way they almost were, considering the police and protest organizers had been talking for days to make sure everything went smoothly and peaceably. So San Francisco. I love that. Come on, people. We're losing daylight.
I hope I get it. I hope I get it.
How many protesters do I need? Okay. I wonder how many jazz hands. I wonder if they did jazz hands before they put the handcuffs on.
The cuffs on, right.
Mm-hmm. Spirit fingers.
Jazz
okay.
cuts.
Okay. Can I have my fine American music reaction? Fine American person music reaction to the ruling yesterday. Mayor Gavin Newsom, who is disturbingly pretty in person.
Yes, he has long eyelashes.
Oh, dear God. I did it. He hosted a debate I did up there for our station, and I could barely talk. He says he will work to overturn Prop 8, and in a statement urged every Californian to please talk to a lesbian or gay family member, neighbor, or coworker, and ask them why equality in the eyes of the law is important to every Californian. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger issued a statement that while he believed one day either the people or the courts will recognize gay marriage as governor, he has to uphold the court's decision.
Yep.
City Attorney Dennis Herrera, whom we know and will talk to in just a couple of hours. He and other advocates for same-sex marriage gathered to say that same-sex marriage will become a reality in California someday, but will happen at the ballot box, not inside a courtroom, and it will take the hard work of everyday citizens, not lawyers. He said, our official role ends here. This fight remains in capable hands with all of you. He said, you're all invited back to City Hall because that celebration belongs here, which he believes would happen. We'll talk to him about the when and how and what the what.
That's right.
Here's the part I find particularly mean-spirited.
Okay.
So, you know, all the organizations for the family.
Whatever.
You know, meaning just straight family.
Yeah.
Not all y'all homos. The conservative Pacifica Justice Institute, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of one of them.
Never heard of them.
Did you see any of these right-wing press releases yesterday?
Oh, Lord.
They issued a statement applauding the court's support for Prop 8 and predicting that more litigation over several years may yet undercut the ruling upholding the 18,000 marriages. So, is that me, or does that seem particularly mean-spirited,
yeah,
to spend your time and energy really trying to take away a right that some people already have? That reminds me of, I don't know if people remember that, but you remember George Bush when he was governor of Texas?
Mm-hmm.
He voted to not only to not let gay people adopt, but to take kids away from gay couples that had already
the street.
Been...
Just don't get the gay on them.
Yeah, that had already adopted and
better
been raising the child,
dumpster,
and that the children loved. Yeah. He wanted people to, he wanted them to take those kids away.
He wanted to rip families apart.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for conservative family values?
Hmm. Yeah, but isn't that something that's like not enough for these people on the right? It's not enough that they upheld Prop 8. They want to make sure they take that right away from the people that already have it. It's all right. This will be, I believe, on What the Fox tonight. On the Prop 8 ruling, you know Bill O'Reilly's favorite group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They're the guys that dress like nuns, right? They're a gay activist group. They walk through the crowd smearing glitter on the foreheads of demonstrators. And glitter is gay, as you know.
Yeah.
I heard that in the musical Candide. All right, O'Reilly last night.
If you had allowed, if the California Supreme Court had allowed the gays to marry, then anybody could have gotten married. You could have married a duck because it would have been equal protection. And you can always explain, look, I want to marry three women or I want to marry two guys because I'm in love, this and the other thing. That was always the legal problem with opening the door because that's just the way it is.
Yeah, here's the problem legally. Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Mm. Where do you get his law degree?
Yeah, because the gays marrying that would...
humanizes homosexuals.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, because there's just a rash of people marrying ducks all around the country.
Uh-huh. There will be if you'll let gay people get married. Uh-huh. Just you watch.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bill O'Reilly, by the way, you know, and I can understand his point of view. He enjoys the sanctity of marriage, which allows one to write dirty novels.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
And also sexually harass your subordinate employees over the phone. You know my photographic memory, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't remember. I can't pronounce anything. I can't remember anything. But what do I have a photographic memory for?
The Andrea Macris transcripts.
The Bill O'Reilly phone sex transcript.
Yep.
Yeah. Jim and Mize, I think our favorite thing is the part where he talks about... he was in Rome to meet the Pope.
Yeah.
And he was, I believe the transcript was banging hot Italian chicks.
Yes.
While his wife was, Mrs. O'Reilly apparently was home pregnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Presumably by him. We don't know for sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh.
That's the kind of sanctity of marriage we need to preserve. Okay. Rick, my right-wing love muffin in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Rick.
Hey, first off, I wanted to tell you, I love listening to your show. The second is, you'll be shocked, I'm a conservative, but I love listening to your show because you talk so much smack to that windbag Limbaugh. and Hannity, which I cannot stand, because you know what? They're still saying, well, you know, this. When you even had a conservative church group leader like Pat Robertson say, if the president fails, we're all going to fail, you know?
Yep. Yep. No, I heard him. I heard the drug addled gas bag say it again yesterday, that he hopes the president fails. He hopes the his Supreme Court nominee fails. And he said the sooner the better.
And that's not good. That's not good for America.
I just wish, one of my biggest wishes right now is for you to get Coulter on air and just like slam her.
Oh, I would.
I would pay you to see that.
Listen, if I can get her in a steel cage wrestling match, we'll both make big money.
So, you know, I just want to say, you know, from a conservative point of view, I love listening to your show. You just like, you just go off on everybody and I love you for it.
Rick, you're the smartest conservative boy in class today.
God bless you.
By the way, wait, Rick, don't go yet. Yes. Did you hear, I'm just curious, because you know that all the talk we get from people like Limbaugh is that the, you know, liberals don't support the troops. Did you hear what he called General Powell yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I also want to tell you, you were also complimented by Michael Savage also.
I was complimented. Hold on now.
Yeah.
I need to pull the show over. I'm sorry. You say what?
Yeah. Savage mentioned you by name. He's just like, at least you should support the troops like some of these other windbags that don't.
Huh. Really?
I don't know what he based that on, but okay, I do support the troops. All right. Oh, dear, I agree with Michael Savage. Oh, dear. Thank you, Rick.
All right,
bye-bye. What the hell is going on with the world?
Wow.
All right. Wow. Yeah, that's speaking weird. Of supporting the troops, Rush has a new name for the our four-star general who...
Obama knows that the moderate Republicans who run the Republican Party, led by General Powell, are...
We'll play the rest of that later. Genital Powell. See?
Oh, genital.
That's funny. See, because he's...
He's a sick, twisted puppy.
Okay, Lori in Chicago on gay marriage. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just wanted to say, I think these groups who seem to say that they're so pro-marriage, but yet they're trying to uphold this Prop 8 stuff, I would think they would want to channel their energy in a more positive direction and try and work on the fact that America has a 50% divorce rate or greater as it is. And instead of putting all their energy towards, you know, banning gay marriage, why don't they work on trying to strengthen marriages in this country and trying to, you know, lower the divorce rate?
There's a bang-up idea. Why don't they put a proposition on the ballot outlawing divorce? Oh, I know, because most of them are divorced. That's why.
Yeah.
Several times.
And, you know, and chances are probably most of them aren't all that sanctimonious when it comes to marriage in the first place.
What?
I know.
What? I don't know to whom you're referring.
I have no idea, Newt Gingrich. I have no idea.
Frankly...
Actually, it could have been anyone. You could have played a Bill O'Reilly drop. You could have played a Rush Limbaugh drop. You could have played a Newt Gingrich drop.
Frankly.
Yeah. Frankly. Although, frankly, he's probably been divorced the most times.
Frankly. Mm-hmm.
And now he's Catholic.
Yes.
And Catholics don't...
For now, frankly.
Yeah. Catholics don't look too kindly upon divorced people.
Frankly.
Okay. All right. 42 minutes after the hour, the Supreme Court fight. Wow. Remember yesterday we were saying, well, what... What could they possibly... This is the American dream that the Republicans always talk about, Sonia Sotomayor. No.
Computer says no.
We'll tell you what they're saying as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, she has one of these liberal talk shows that nobody listens to.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Adam in Minneapolis on the Prop 8 ruling in California yesterday. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Stephanie. First, I got to say I love you and I want to bear your children.
I love you. That would be so much more convenient for me than me doing it. Thank you.
And second, I want to very quickly congratulate you and the Mooks on being on XM all 3 hours now.
Oh, yay. Thank you.
Wanted to talk about Prop 8 and the ruling that came down yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I've been reading online. The whole pile of lawyers are combing through the ruling and analyzing it, and it's pages and pages and pages. The court that made the ruling yesterday goes out of their way to say that it has nothing to do with gay marriage. It has nothing to do with equal rights. that have nothing to do with equal protection or any of the things that the spin masters are talking about in the media. The only thing their court ruling addresses is the legal question of whether Prop 8 was an amendment to the Constitution of California or a revision of the Constitution of California.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And because they ruled it an amendment rather than a revision, they say it's stupid that you can amend the California Constitution so easily, but hey, that's the way it goes.
That's right.
Well,
that's what they said.
Was our whole, I don't know if you heard our opening segment, Adam, but that's what we're talking about, is that's why we're bankrupt in California, this stupid proposition thing. I mean, it's just putting everything to the vote, to a vote for to the people. It's just, it's causing, you know.
But I think Adam was saying that it's way too easy to change the Constitution of the state.
It is ridiculously easy to amend the Constitution, but the court went out of their way to say because it was a simple amendment, they are not, it in no way addresses the rights of gays to get married, it in no way addresses their equal rights, and it frankly is leaving the door wide open for proponents of same-sex marriage to do the same thing, and that's what they need to do. They need to get their word out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were, but you know, we were just talking about that we just had this election, when was this, last week? I mean, this is exactly, try to figure out what the hell we're going to do with our with our bankruptcy out here now. You know what I mean? We just voted for a bunch of stuff that cost stuff and then voted against any taxes to pay for it. Like, we're not already. Now we're going to have to legalize pot. Woo! Smoke them, you got them! Okay. Carrie in Massachusetts on gay marriage. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, how are you? You're so funny. I listen to you every day.
Thank
you. Anyway, I'm married to a woman in Massachusetts for a year now. I think it's
Yay! Congratulations.
Thank you. I think it's been legal like 5 years here in Mass, and I haven't seen anybody try to get married to their duck or cat or dog.
You're kidding. It's a gateway thing, according to Bill O'Reilly.
It's just so ridiculous to say something like that.
I know.
I don't know what they're thinking.
I know. Yeah,
you can't say gateway without gay. That's all I'm saying.
See? Steve in Seattle on gay marriage. Hi, Steve.
Yes, to amplify what was said earlier, good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
If you pull up the ruling on page 36 down near the bottom, what the court basically states, aside from ruling about the issue of the, is it a revision or amendment, is it says that it is not addressing any restrictions that people who have been married or will be married will still have all of the rights. They just can't use the term, the label, marriage, but everything else is still preserved. So, I mean, there's got to be an appeal coming here some way or another, amendment, I guess, but or proposition or something. But it's just the court basically, the only thing they struck down was the ability to use the word marriage.
Mm-hmm. So they can call it gay Florgan if they want, and that would be...
Why don't we call it gay Flavin? That's just a fun
Flavin.
Word.
Flavin!
Because that wouldn't be equal.
Exactly. That's separate. It's
force
fun.
Force everyone else to call it
Flavin.
It's fun and yet separate.
Well, now we have we have three separate classes of people now, thanks to the California Supreme Court. We have straight people who can get married.
Yep.
We have gay people who are married, and we have gay people who will never
who
be able to get married.
Can't play in any of the reindeer games.
Exactly. And that's just completely asinine, and I think that's a way for this case to go to the federal courts, which I believe it's already on its way to the federal
courts.
We will
talk to Dennis Herrera, city attorney for San Francisco, about that in, hour and a half. Let's say an hour and a half or so.
Sure.
Okay.
Kind of a premature segue.
All right. By the way, Jim, you were correct yesterday. Sonia Sotomayor is every fill in the blank.
Yeah.
that the right wing is saying she is. She. I don't think some. I think you were wrong on that. No one said Trotskyite. However.
That's next.
She has apparently feelings and I don't.
Whatever.
Things that are not.
Empathy.
Human beings should not have. Okay, Sonia Sotomayor.
I was just counseled not to be nervous. That's almost impossible.
Aww.
In more than 16 years as a federal judge, by the way, she has more experience than anyone ever nominated to the bench.
Anyone currently on the bench.
More than Clarence Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm.
Is that possible?
I was saying yesterday, hard to... Wow, it's hard to top that sort of intellectual record.
I agree with Scalia.
That's pretty much, I'm paraphrasing most of his writings, I think they pretty
what
much...
What he said, that's pretty much his...
Yeah, no, he just has a rubber stamp. He doesn't actually even write it himself. It's just a big stamp that says, yeah, Scalia.
And Clarence Thomas never asks questions, apparently, during the proceedings.
No.
He lets Scalia do all that.
Yeah.
He just said, the stamp says what Scalia said. So he has less work to do. He has more time to watch porn.
Right.
Okay.
Offer cokes to...
To,
Yeah.
Okay. She has in her 16 years, she has often sided with people claiming discrimination in education and employment. She's backed police. She has backed police and prosecutors over defendants. She's upheld assertions of free speech and religion, not easily pigeonholed. She has also been part of rulings that go the other way. In general, her rulings as a trial judge for 6 years and then as an appeals court judge are in line with the liberal-leaning views of Justice David Souter, the man Barack Obama has nominated her to replace. Her record indicates that her combination would not seriously alter the balance of power on a court that often splits along conservative and liberal lines on social issues. I don't know if you... Did you see Rachel Maddow doing her cocktail analogy?
Yeah.
On the Supreme Court last night.
Whiskey sour.
Yes, the Supreme Court is a whiskey sour. She's a mixologist, you know.
I know that.
I have thrown back a few with the entire Maddow family.
You've spilled.
And that girl can knock them back.
You've spilled booze of the entire Maddow family.
Yes. Well, mostly Mr. Maddow. Anyway.
He probably liked it.
Yeah. I don't know. He still talks to me. Anyway, but, you know, this is what I was afraid of, is that, look, he won in a landslide. This is a liberal judge we're replacing. She's not a liberal. Not for me. She's saying that she would be, you know, part of the moderate, you know, or the ones that you really don't know which way she's going to go. I would actually prefer that someone more reliably liberal. I mean, that's the funny thing about them trying to cast her as some crazy liberal.
Yeah, if the Republicans are going to call her communist anyway, she might as well be a real liberal.
I know. I want an actual socialist. Damn it. All right. Sonia Sotomayor.
I stand on the shoulders of countless people. Yet there is one extraordinary person who is my life aspiration. That person is my mother, Selena Sotomayor.
Oh.
Yeah, that was very touching. Her mother was a mess. Oh.
Well, wouldn't you be if you had a child?
Well, my mom would have been too had I amounted to something.
She just spends her entire days being disappointed in you now.
Dear. Huge disappointment to her.
So how's your daughter?
Saying I've read Nancy Drew and watched Perry Mason endlessly and thought I'd be a lawyer. And now look what I am.
Takes a little more than that.
Now my mother cries. For me, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
This is Sotomayor, dude.
My mother has devoted her life to my brother and me. And as the president mentioned, she worked often two jobs to help support us after Dad died. I have often said that I am all I am because of her. And I am only half the woman she is. Sitting next to her is Omar Lopez, my mom's husband, and a man whom I have grown to adore. I thank you for all that you have given me and continue to give me. I love you.
Oh, that was really touching.
She has empathy.
She has
ick.
Feeling. Ick. Yeah, is it me or human beings? Aren't they supposed to have feelings?
So I'm told.
If you look at her rulings, they go very much by the law. I don't. They're trying to spin everything she's ever said. Like, oh, she's just going. But she's a chick. It's emotion.
Chick judge.
All right. My mom. My poor mom. She went through. I mean, you know, cans and cans of Aquanet to get that Republican hair helmet perfect. And now what? Now what does her daughter do for a living?
I chose to be a lawyer.
That's right. I have a little radio show with fart jokes. All right. Sonia Sotomayor.
I chose to be a lawyer and ultimately a judge because I find endless challenge in the complexities of the law. I firmly believe in the rule of law as the foundation for all of our basic rights. For as long as I can remember, I have been inspired by the achievement of our founding fathers. They set forth principles that have endured for more than two centuries. Those principles are as meaningful and relevant in each generation as the generation before. It would be a profound privilege for me to play a role in applying those principles to the questions and controversies we face today.
Oh. The founding fathers were white guys, and Tom Tancredo says she's a racist, huh? All right, Tinsel Talk is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Representative John Larson, Democratic Great State of Connecticut, coming up in less than half an hour to talk about the Supreme Court nomination, North Korea, the economy, and much more. Dennis Herrera, city attorney for San Francisco, next hour to talk about yesterday's Prop 8 ruling in California. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lloyd, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Sonia Sotomayor yesterday, the new Supreme Court nominee.
Although I grew up in very modest and challenging circumstances, I consider my life to be immeasurably rich.
And the president yesterday talking about the American dream as well.
Well, Sonia, what you've shown in your life is that it doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like, or what challenges life throws your way. No dream is beyond reach in the United States of America.
Unless, of course, you're a crazy activist with feelings. And then the Republicans...
The computer says, nah.
Not that American dream. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa.
The committee has to take time to make sure the nominee will be true to the Constitution and apply the law rather than personal politics, feelings, or preferences.
Oh, God. She might have feelings. All right.
Feelings.
All right. Oh. That'd be bad, apparently.
You gotta play the Sex Pistols to juxtapose.
Nothing more than no feelings for anybody else except for myself.
That's the Republican anthem.
By the way,
yes.
I don't know why. Do you know how little tidbits stick out at you when just you're reading a serious article about the, you know, health, the healthcare debate coming up and
sure.
All that? Just one line just made me laugh. It said, sugary drinks have a friend in Chuck Grassley. I don't know, I just...
Grasshoppers?
Why is that?
I don't know. He doesn't want to tax sugary drinks, whatever, to pay for health care. Sugary drinks have a friend. All right.
He must be getting money from the sugary
apparently,
drink industry.
Sugary drinks like right-wing tools. Okay, Julie in Seattle writes, Mama, more on the script the right-wing tools will be using on the Supreme Court nominee. Quote, one of her anonymous law clerks says she isn't very smart. Yeah, you know how easy it is to graduate summa cum laude from Yale.
Yeah.
Furthermore, somebody said she's kind of a bully on the bench, meaning she's too judgy. She's a too judgy kind of judge.
She's a judgmental
kind of
judge.
She's a judgmental kind of judge.
Making judgments.
That's
too judgy.
All right. Let's check.
Don't judge me.
Let's check.
Oh, you're a judge. Okay.
Okay, never mind. Okay, let's check some entertainment news. Anyway, here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Hollywood hunk Colin Farrell set to be the best man at his gay brother's wedding. The Hollywood star's brother, Eamon? Is that how you say it?
Eamon Farrell.
He'll be marrying, it's an Irish name.
Yes.
He'll be marrying his partner, Steve, in front of a host of family and friends at a European hotspot this summer, has revealed that Colin may play the key role at his upcoming nuptials. We have Colin.
Sure, I'm after being all about the Curry fellas getting hitched. Me brother's one, and I wish him all the best. To my way of thinking, for every one of them, there's another fair Colleen for me to shag. So they're doing me a grand favour, they are. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be best man at his wedding. Not to be a Bombay talk about it, but probably the only real man there, Faith. I was agonising about it, not because I think it's wrong, but because I go to weddings to tap the bridesmaids like so many kegs of Guinness, and there won't be nary a flange in sight. There'll all be bridesmen. Then I realised, why am I such a sky pilot about the proceedings? That did it. In the spirit of equality and acceptance for the gays, I'll shag the lot of them. So out of those clackers in the way, a man can get used to anything. And to continue my tradition of scuttling the bride, I'll even give me brass part in the Scouty ring. I'm doing it for Ireland. Up the...
Now I understand Colin Farrell's mission in life better. It's his job to... All the women his brother isn't.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's just making...
More left for me. Grand. Love it.
And finally, Suri Cruz, Tom Cruise's daughter, is fussy when it comes to her dinner. She eats exclusively with chopsticks. Oh, no. Aren't children adorable? Suri doesn't like to eat.
And you would know this because?
Yeah, when was the last time you were around children?
There was one at my house over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, really? Was this a naked party?
No. I didn't get naked till after the children left.
Okay.
Shush about that.
No, don't speak.
You're the one who brought it up.
Yeah. I apologize to my friend and her boyfriend. Nobody saw anything. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, but were pictures taken?
No.
You don't know because you were too drunk.
No. And the child was gone.
How do you know
as
this?
As far as you know.
All right. Anyway, a source says Suri doesn't like to eat with anything else. During a recent visit to, I don't know, some French restaurant I can't pronounce. You know, where you take the kids.
At Pain Quotidien. Mm-hmm. There's one in Studio City.
Apparently, Quotidien. She would not touch her sandwich or pastries without her chopsticks. We have Tom Cruise on this.
Listen to your father, Suri. Forks are suppressive and glib. Chopsticks were invented by Xenu 75 billion years ago when he was flying DC-8s into volcanoes to trigger nuclear explosions, which have the ability to create new realities and conditions. For example, the condition of being surrounded by radioactive lava, which causes your body thetans to run screaming from your body. It's really KSW. When I read it, I just went, wow, this is it. Being boiled by radioactive lava caused the body thetans to become really hungry, so they gorge themselves on mashed potatoes, oyster po' boys, and tater tots swimming in Velveeta, which made them very fat and icky and disgusting. You'd never want to see them in a shirtless volleyball game. So the orgs had to step in and reread KSW and deprive people of utensils, which enabled their gross engorgement and accumulation of body fat, because they weren't afraid to step in and ruthlessly deploy ethics on the fatty, fatty 2x4s, forcing them to eat with wooden sticks, which couldn't pick up mashed potatoes. Because you're either on board, or you're not on board. Are you on board, Suri? Are we clear?
Christo.
Katie, are you on board? Are you on board?
Somebody help me. Somebody please help me.
What was that?
I said, pass the steamed soybeans.
That's what I thought you said.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, fall to roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. There's a tile ad right at the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Mm-hmm. Also, just check out jim-ward.com. You can see that scene from Biker Mice from Mars, which makes me the Emmy-nominated Jim Ward. Thank you very much.
So, do you get to go to the Emmy ceremony?
Probably not.
Oh.
I'm not going to hold my breath with
you. Oh, okay.
They probably have their own little private, you know, little celebration in a Pizza Hut or something.
Like Dave, the GOP
yeah,
did.
Exactly.
Dave in Buffalo and Sonia Sotomayor. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Mama. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, there's two things they're going to accuse her with. They hinted at it last night, and I don't know if I can say this. The B word that she's, you know, demanding and controlling, you know, which makes women a, I don't know if I can say it or not.
A bitch, is that what you're going to say? Yes.
Uh-huh. They're accusing her of being a bitch, and that they're going to drag her Catholicism in this and tell her that she can't take communion because she's got these liberal pro-choice viewpoints.
Actually, she's never had an abortion ruling. That's the thing.
We don't know what her views are on abortion.
Exactly. In 17 years, she hasn't had a significant... all right. Anyway, by the way, Chris in Yankton writes, hey, Steph, regarding conservatives attacking Sotomayor for having empathy, in psychological terms, isn't a person without empathy a sociopath?
Yes.
Is that what conservatives are saying, that they only want sociopaths in government?
Yes.
I think they've proven it with Scalia and Thomas.
With the Bush administration in general. There you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Quick celebrity stack. You know, this tweeting has gotten out of hand. Elizabeth Taylor has been tweeting from her hospital bed. She's having some sort of routine. You know, the thing where you're in the hospital a lot.
Another hip replacement?
Something.
Okay.
Her spokesman says she has fallen in love with the tweeting. And she's been trying to smuggle her new puppy into the hospital room. She's been tweeting, trying to ask friends to get the dog past security.
Yeah, you know what? That's not too sanitary for a hospital, though.
Yeah, but puppies are good, and they make you feel better.
Well, they have, you know, they have, well, never mind.
All right. By the way, if only Tom Brokaw were still around to report this story, but it's about Mary Kay Letourneau.
Hey, could be.
Okay.
Mary Kay Letourneau?
Yes. Has hosted a Hot for Teacher night at a bar.
She did not.
In Seattle, yes.
Oh.
Along with the former student that she... Yes.
Gino Olbrigida.
This is sort of a traditional love story. They met when he was in second grade.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
There's a lot of foreplay, though. They began their affair when he was 12, and as you recall, she was 34. Okay, so that was the hot teacher night, which seems kind of in bad taste, if you ask me. But speaking of which, Queen Elizabeth has visited a Heinz bean factory.
Heinz makes beans?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the
50, okay.
It was the 50th anniversary of Heinz giant baked bean processing plant. She was accompanied by her husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, who presumably walked behind her. Oh, dear.
It didn't say she ate the beans.
I know, but you know, I couldn't resist
that. Isn't it on toast? Beans on toast. It's the national dish.
All right, Tom Jones and Mariah Carey were each paid about $1.6 million to perform for less than an hour.
Wow.
At the opening.
Holy crap.
That's what you're making, isn't it?
Yes, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were paid that for the opening of the Mardan Palace in Turkey, the world's most expensive hotel. Here's even the more disgusting part. Paris Hilton, Seal, Sharon Stone, and Richard Gere were each paid about $19,000 apiece just to ride in a gondola at the launch party. Why don't I get those invitations, Rebecca? Why wasn't I invited to ride a gondola for $19,000 at the launch party of the thing?
Ride a gondola for $14,000. I'm a bargain.
The blogger who wrote this said, I would have done it for a couple of iTunes downloads and a Jamba Juice gift card. All right. Also, too, Sarah Palin has picked a collaborator for her memoir.
Oh, mm-hmm. Collaborator? I think it's called Ghostwriter.
She has selected Lynn Vincent.
And she's with...
She's good.
Oh, she's a... she works for a conservative Christian publication.
Of course she does.
And she has previously written Donkey Kong's Sex, Crime, and Corruption in the Democratic Party.
Ha!
So that will be quite the literary masterpiece, also, too. And I can't wait for Also, too, the book on tape. You'll betcha.
Bring it right to ya.
We'll bring it back to ya. You'll betcha, guys and gals.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to ya.
Guys and gals. You know, as someone who stopped going to the movies in the 80s,
yes,
this is
you
very
have.
Exciting. Cameron's house from Ferris Bueller is up for sale.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wait.
Anyone?
You know, they crashed the Ferrari into the glass garage, remember?
And into the ravine.
Yes.
Yeah.
$2.3 million in Chicago.
$2.3 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ferrari went through. The glass garage is still there, apparently.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a really cool house.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that song in virtually every 80s movie? It wasn't just that one.
Yeah, Secret of My Success. It was in that one. God, I know it was in another one.
Okay, I don't know why. It was all the rage in the 80s. All right, Squeezy, this is for you. Brooke Shields claims losing her virginity late inhibited her health. You could have helped, Jim. You could have come between her and her Calvins a long time ago.
My.
Her first regret when it comes to maintaining a healthy body, not losing her virginity sooner.
What?
She said, I think I would have had sex a lot earlier. She admits to waiting until the age of 22. Oh, dear.
Yikes.
Before having sex, and said this has hindered her from being more in touch with herself. You'd think, oddly, she'd be more in touch with herself.
Yeah.
Hey. We collided getting to that joke.
Yeah, you did.
I hip-checked him into the boards.
Uh-huh.
Shields claims
it's kind of like foreplay.
Waiting inhibited her from being more comfortable with her physical appearance. The retired model confesses she battled weight issues throughout most of her early modeling career. Oh, you could tell that. She was very heavy.
Yeah, she was. Planet. What?
What the?
I can't believe she didn't get any offers.
Yeah. All right.
Before she was 22.
That concludes our celebrity stack. All right. Back to the Sotomayor nomination.
Sotomayor.
Or as Mike Huckabee calls her, Maria. Yeah. 20 minutes... What a tool. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour.
I heard a lot of people saying to the Wall Street criminals, go ahead and jump.
1-800-STEP-12, the number. Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts, on the Supreme Court nomination. Hello, Jeff.
Hello,
guys. Hello. And Mama. Back in Boston, yay.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay for us.
Props to Jeff Santos for helping that happen. Mm-hmm. Wish we could have all 3 hours, but hey. Anybody watch Rachel Maddow last night?
Yep.
Okay, so what did you think about her contention? You know, she's concerned. Two things. One is that if Rachel's analysis is right, this woman's very middle of the road, mm-hmm. possibly even a little bit to the right. She tended to vote, admittedly in New York State, but with the three appellate judges, she tended to vote 95% of the time with the two other Republicans.
Yeah, I mean,
I once had a dissenting vote on a vote. Yeah. That voted for the defendant, the plaintiff against the company. She was a dissenting vote for the company.
Yep. No, exactly. I liked her her whiskey sour analysis of the Supreme Court.
Course you would.
But that's the funny thing about that's the funny thing about them. You know, casting even this president is some kind of far left. He's far too centrist for a lot of people on the left.
He is, but the Republicans will just find something. They've got to criticize something.
Right.
They got something to.
Right.
The other thing.
Well, she's the kind
media.
Of communist that was appointed by George H.W. Bush.
I know he is such a communist, left-wing pinko. But where is the media even talking about her actual record? They're just letting the Republicans go with their spin.
Mm-hmm. Well, you knew that, like I say, we said the stuff was all ready to go out, just fill in the blank.
Right.
Didn't matter who he picked.
That's
the
right.
The president's nominee, fill in the blank, is a fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because she, fill in the blank.
Steve in Orange County on me being naked at my Memorial Day party. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you? You know, I'm I have an invite for you. I'm having a grand opening of my new pool I just had put in, and wondering for $250, do you mind lay out naked by my pool?
If you throw in a gondola ride, I'm there. It's a gondola ride and a box of wine.
And a Jamba Juice gift card.
I have a new lab you can pet.
Okay, thank you.
That's what the kids are calling.
Hey!
Caroline in Akron on North Korea. Hello, Caroline.
Hi. I have a theory, and Chris and Jim might not like this, but it just seems that the men, whenever men who are leaders, whenever they're, you know, talking war, are they compensating for something they feel insecure about?
For something that they feel is, perhaps if one's Taipo Dong is of substandard size.
Well, you know, I mean, what is Kim Jong-il's problem? I mean, people say he's crazy, but he's crazy like a fox. But it just seems like mine's bigger than yours, and blah, 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 and I don't know.
Yep.
It just seems like that's all they ever do. And that man is...
Well, if you've had your Taipo Dong fail as many times as he has, you know, you would feel the need
to... Golda Meir was no slouch in the War Department, so...
Yeah, or Margaret Thatcher.
Female leaders will not be warmongers. That's
I think Margaret Thatcher probably did have a small... That's just my... theory.
Dude! Exactly. What the hell are you talking about?
That's my point.
Oh.
That's exactly my point, dude. Just saying.
Dude.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, Representative John Larson, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, on the Obama Supreme Court pick. Speaking of North Korea and the economy, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Not now. I'm too drunk.
You say that every day, huh?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President, for the most humbling honor of my life. You have nominated me to serve on the country's highest court. And I am deeply moved. I strive never to forget the real world consequences of my decisions on individuals, businesses, and government.
All right. If only we could get some, we've gotten the right wing response. If we could get a reasonable response now to the. What? Jim, who is it?
Why, from the great state of Connecticut, it's Representative John Larson.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I am just fine. So we have heard that she has horrible things like feelings from the right wing. I heard Tom Tancredo call her a racist yesterday.
Well, you know, they just keep marginalizing themselves. And Sonia Sotomayor is just exactly what the American dream is all about, the fulfillment of hard work and dedication, intelligence, and what she brings to this position is incredible. I think the president mentioned yesterday that she has more actual court experience than any of the current serving justices.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think she's going to bring that added extra, I think, you know, as she said, real-world consequences because she's lived in that real world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. The Tom Tancredo thing does make me laugh because here's a guy that has made his career on fear-mongering about Hispanic people. I guess he's referring to her. She was talking to a Latino group, right, and just said, I think sometimes a wise Latino woman could make a better decision on certain things based on real life than a white guy. I don't find that terribly alarming. Do you? It's like
No. I think people, have got to get over this stuff. The nation wants to see the country pull together, and our president has done such an extraordinary job of emphasizing that. And, all kinds of barriers are being broken, and the world is taking notice. And if America is going to continue on its lofty position as preeminent economic, social, cultural, military leader in the world, this is what we need to do.
And I think
to be the most inclusive country in the world. Too.
I would be happy if Republicans just keep putting Tom Tancredo out there to talk about this because I think their Hispanic vote will just rocket upwards. But she makes. The point I understood that Ruth Bader Ginsburg made on the case. Remember the strip search of I think it was a 13-year-old girl. She said, "Look, a woman is just going to have a different understanding of that and bring something else to that discussion," which I think is a good point.
Yeah, and when you've participated in over 3,000 panel decisions and authored roughly 400 opinions handling matters, involving, constitutional law and complex procedural matters to lawsuits involving business organizations, I think you come there with a lot of grounded common sense and practical experience, more so than anyone else who's currently sitting on the court.
Right. Well, Congressman Larson, we were talking before the break, though. Interestingly, here is a justice that was nominated by George H.W. Bush that, frankly, is probably not liberal enough for a lot of liberals in the party who they're already trying to cast as some crazy activist. She's actually been very down the middle, hasn't she, as a judge?
Yeah, she has. And in not only that, I think that she brings the gravitas that you want in the position. Listen, I believe that every president has the right and the responsibility. Of course, the Senate plays the role of advice and consent. And in the case of Harriet Myers, she wasn't fit for that position. But Alito and Roberts, elections have consequences. Mm-hmm. But I think Obama has chosen well, and I think she's going to be confirmed in the Senate. And it was interesting to hear Orrin Hatch's comments, where he kind of backed off, even though he had certainly voted for her in the past. That's the spooky game that goes on with respect to advise and consent.
Right.
But I think the president will prevail here.
Well, she is obviously the kind of crazy communist that Bill Frist and Rick Santorum both voted for. it really is amazing, isn't it? That's exactly right, Congressman. It's like a kabuki theater. They try to use, I don't know if you heard the other thing they're using on the right, is this little sound clip of, and she's clearly making a joke. The audience is laughing about,
Stephanie, I try not to listen to the right.
I'll tell you what they're
saying. Like yours, so that,
I listen so you don't have to. But they're saying that she said she made a joke about court judges make policy, but she clearly was making a joke. But again, you got to look at her rulings, right? They don't stray from the law.
Exactly.
So here's the other thing. Obviously, a lot of the hot-button issues, it seems like a lot of them, they were getting ready to rubber stamp whoever it was they nominated. Abortion opponents have already, said this is a radical pick that divides America. She hasn't had any abortion rulings.
Yeah. And listen, I thought the president, again, did a great job out at Notre Dame. He went out there, and I think that's the kind of justice, that he's going to nominate. Someone who is going to look at the real-world consequences of decisions and taking in, you know, the breadth and depth of those decisions. And she is eminently qualified. It was great listening to the. I saw a number of the spots on TV where they went back to her hometown and back to Brooklyn, and they were interviewing former classmates, et cetera. And what a tremendous feeling for, you know, being the first Latina to serve on the U.S. Court of Appeals, and now the first Latina on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it seems like the Republicans are all for the American dream if it's someone they agree with politically. Otherwise, apparently that doesn't matter, your life story.
yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, plus I don't even get this whole why empathy and feelings might be a bad thing. I mean, I don't know if I'm just being a hysterical female, but isn't that kind of, I mean,
that's what
again.
You would like in a justice. Well,
right. But she has followed the law.
Justice Leonard Hand used to say, liberty and democracy is that which leaves you not too sure. And which I always find an interesting quote, because more often than not, in whether it's on the bench or whether, you know, it's serving in a legislative body, if you really listen to the other side, you can find more than a grain of salt or thread of what you believe in, and say, you know, I may disagree with that person, boy, but wasn't that terrific what they had to say?
Mm-hmm.
There just doesn't seem to be any of that on the right wing anymore. I feel bad. Not that bad, but
right.
Bad for the Republican Party and what's happening.
Well, it seems like, Congressman, they just don't have a lot against her, because, you know, when you talk about, oh, she's going to use feelings, to me that's blatantly sexist. I mean, she has obviously followed the law in her rulings to imply that. I mean, I can only assume they mean, oh, because she's a woman. Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah, and, you know, the thing is, you know, she's going to bring the common sense understanding of how laws affect the daily reality of people's lives. And, you know, that's exactly what the highest court in the land needs to do.
Yep, absolutely. Let me get your take, Congressman, before you go on the,
sure.
First of all, North Korea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, needless to say, Kim Jong-il has demonstrated time and again that he's very unpredictable. But I feel, you know, I was listening to Dr. Brzezinski this morning, and I thought he made some very telling points. And one is that I think President Obama understands that this is a situation where our country finds itself in wars on two fronts and trying to balance a very difficult policy between Israel and Palestine. And so to be involved in the Middle East and now the Far East requires that we abandon the Bush ideology of unilateralism and American superiority and recognize that what we have to do is come in and work with our neighbors. I'm pleased to see the role that China is playing here. I'm pleased that our speaker is over there currently and meeting with Hu Jintao and Wen Jiapao and, you know, talking about the relationships and furthering stronger relationships between our country and theirs. That's precisely, I think, what's going to have to happen here to bring leverage on North Korea and Kim Jong-il.
Well, according to John Boehner, she should not be doing that, preventing an Armageddon. She should be here explaining about torture again.
Well, you know, increasingly, I think the speaker's got it right. People in America understand what is a distraction from what needs to be done.
Yep.
She continues to focus on health care. She continues to focus on energy, putting America back to work, and going abroad, especially during the, you know, she just got back from spending Mother's Day in Iraq with our soldiers, and here she is in China at a very critical moment, at a very critical time when North Korea is acting out. Again, and I think it's important to reinforce that relationship with China, who obviously has the most influence. They're virtually the only trading partner now currently that North Korea has, so they're a vital partnership. And
yep.
To the extent that we get North Korea to understand that they're better off securing what they want for their people by sitting at the bargaining table instead of launching missiles or testing nuclear bombs, we're far better off.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman John Larson of the great state of Connecticut, thanks so much for taking time for us.
Hey, Stephanie, it was great to be on. Look forward to coming back.
All right, you too. There he goes, our congressman from the great state of Connecticut.
I like him.
I like him. Right.
Yeah, and he laughed at your jokes, so that immediately means he's coming back.
We like him chuckly. We like our Congress critters chuckly.
That's right.
44 minutes after the hour, back with more right-wing claptrap about Sonia Sotomayor as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I can't make it down. I can't make it down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around.
I would, but I'm wearing headphones.
That's soothing. It is soothing.
I love this song.
I'm attached to my seat. I can't. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville on Sonia Sotomayor. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I thought that Congressman Larson was great, but he said something that was just horrible, just unbelievably wrong and incorrect about Sonia Sotomayor. She is not from Brooklyn. She is a Bronx girl like
that. She's from the Bronx.
She's from the Bronx. She went to Cardinal Spellman, and we all knew what the Spellman girls were like.
What does this mean?
No, she is terrific. And I just love the right wing. I just can't wait for them to tie themselves up in knots and either get rid of, and there'll be no Hispanics voting for them for about the next 25 years.
Exactly. Do you remember, Sue, I think we talked about at one point when Bush was in office, they did the black approval rating for George Bush was 2%, which was in the margin of error, which I loved.
Right. Well, that's because fetuses would no sooner vote for George or they'll vote for anyone else.
That's going to be the Hispanic vote, I think, at some point. We were saying, because we're not scientists, we're just saying that technically more black people could hate George Bush than are really alive today.
That is true.
And if you're in the margin of error, mathematically, black poltergeists could theoretically be coming back to hate him. They could be maybe sonograms of black babies. They could maybe not even know the sex yet, but know that the baby hates George Bush. Just saying, that may be where the Hispanic approval rating is going for
entities.
The Republican Party. Exactly.
And black entities.
Hispanic entities will hate the Republican Party. Okay. All right.
I got to see that movie again.
Oh, we love us some Barbara Hershey here on the Stephanie Miller newscast. All right. So, this is the thing they're talking about. I've heard this little clip, but she clearly was making a joke. She was giving a talk at Duke University, and she said that appeals court judges make policy. But then she obviously made it clear that, I know I shouldn't say that and blah, blah. And she's laughing. And whatever.
Yeah, that's going to come up, though. That's going to be a bit of a
sticky
wicket.
Right, but her writings don't stray from the law. You can't go off, she made some offhand comment, whatever. It's like you have to look at her record.
But you should see how often that little piece of tape is being played on Fox News.
Yo, really? What the Fox? You're kidding. She has not been, by the way, part of any major rulings on abortion rights, as I mentioned. She wrote an opinion ruling against an abortion rights group that had challenged a government policy prohibiting foreign organizations receiving U.S. funds from performing or supporting abortions. She wrote that the government was free to favor the anti-abortion position when public funds were involved. President Obama, as you know, lifted the rule soon after he took office. Even so, like abortion, they've already probably had the the letters ready to go.
Yeah.
She's a radical pick that divides America. What?
He and or she is a radical pick that divides America. Mm-hmm. Because of his or her judicial activism on fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm. So then the other thing they're talking about, the civil rights lawsuit, it concerned the race discrimination claims of white firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut, a case that will go to the Supreme Court next month.
Sean Hannity spent about a half an hour on that story last night.
Did he ask Tom Tancredo, by the way, because also she ruled against Hispanic. It was white and Hispanic firefighters.
Yeah. Interesting.
Weird. In a one-paragraph opinion, she and two other judges upheld a lower court ruling dismissing the firefighters' claims. That and what's the other thing Tom Tancredo is basing the racism charge on that she said, I think in some instances a white Latino woman can make a better decision than a white man or I don't know.
In some instances? Sure.
Yes.
But not every instance.
Once again, I said it was Tom Tancredo that said she's a racist.
Yes, I know. Which is delicious in its irony.
Speaker. He of the deliverance wing of the Republican Party. Okay, President Obama yesterday.
Walking in the door, she would bring more experience on the bench and more varied experience on the bench than anyone currently serving on the United States Supreme Court had when they were appointed.
Snap.
Will in Chicago on Man Cow. Hello, Will.
Hi, good morning, Steph and everybody. I just wanted to, with this whole Man Cow thing coming to light, I'm absolutely possibly throwing down a challenge to Sean Hannity. If he does not do a waterboarding exercise to show all of America that waterboarding is not torture, he is indeed a French homosexual communist.
All right, thank you, Will. Would you have given anyone thing to be on that conversation between, because Man Cow said that he called Hannity.
Crap, what did you do? What are you doing to me?
Don't do it, man. Don't. It's really awful. Ebony in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Supreme Court nominee. Hello, Ebony.
Hi, my sister from another mister. What's up?
Hello.
Hey, I got a comment on this. This is just pure genius on President Barack Obama's part. He is obviously playing chess while all these GOPs are playing tic-tac-toe.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that they were going to fight him on whatever person he picked.
Yep.
The only, things that I was crossing my fingers and praying for is that it would be a woman that he would pick and that it would be somebody quote-unquote different. You know, I didn't care, gay, Latino, Asian, anything. He's perfect. I knew he was, everyone knew he was going to try to, they were going to try to, give him a hard time about this. Now go against the Latinos.
Well, that's exactly,
great. That's, go against them.
Ebony, that's exactly, you're absolutely right. That, whatever else Barack Obama is, as we keep saying, he is a really smart politician.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
Republicans are already saying, they consider her the most liberal of the four finalists. But that is absolutely smart-based politics, selecting the first Hispanic.
Yep.
Darn right. It's perfect because they have the numbers. They have the political power. He's telling them, si se puede. He's behind them. He's going to get their support. Next time around, unquestionable. And with this pick, if they try to give any problems, you look at states like New Mexico, Arizona, any of the rest of them that are going to be going up for any kind of re-election.
Yeah, and you remember.
In 2010.
Speaking of Republican hypocrisy, Ebony, you remember when Alberto Gonzalez was up for attorney general. Mm-hmm. You know, the telling of his hardscrabble background couldn't have been more touching to the. His house in every telling got a little smaller until he was raised in a shoe. He was raised in a little shoe. Yeah.
Yes.
Mouse-sized shoe.
So, she was raised in a Bronx housing project, lost her father at age 9. I mean, this is the American dream,
Yep.
Graduated summa cum laude from Yale, and now that none of that matters anymore. By the way, speaking of Republican hypocrisy, Jim, I have a guess to quote for you.
Uh-oh.
Who said of Clarence Thomas... He is a delightful and warm, intelligent person who has great empathy and a wonderful sense of humor.
Green Day.
No. George W. Bush said that.
Really?
George H.W. Bush said that of Clarence Thomas.
George H.W. Bush is the one who nominated Clarence Thomas,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He had empathy.
Huh.
Clarence Thomas did. He's very empathetic with the... the women in the porn films he watches. Anyway, he has a delightful sense of humor, like the pubic hair on the Coke can. Hey, look out!
Gotcha.
Ha ha!
Oh,
I heard that one in Long Dong Silver.
You know what would have been great though,
mm.
if Obama had nominated Anita Hill.
Awkward.
Oh. Wouldn't that have been? I mean, I love Sonia Sotomayor, but.
Oh, that would have been great.
First meeting of the Supremes.
Oh, Anita Hill would have been awesome.
That'd be great if she would have brought him a can of Coke. That would have been funny.
Come
on. By the way, there's a great story about a Democrat that cornered Arlen Specter in an elevator in Pennsylvania about his grilling of Anita Hill.
Uh-oh.
Yes. We will talk about that. And also, Michael Steele has a few things to say about the Supreme Court nomination. We'll tell you what he said in stand-up news next. 57 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Coming up this half hour, Dennis Herrera, city attorney for San Francisco, to talk about the Prop 8 ruling on gay marriage out here in California yesterday. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Big day yesterday. The president dominating Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court.
Sonia's mom bought the only set of encyclopedias in the neighborhood, sent her children to a Catholic school called Cardinal Spellman, out of a belief that with a good education here in America, all things are possible.
That's what my mom thought when she sent me to Catholic school and bought me the Encyclopedia Britannica. But instead, this is what she got.
Yeah, instead. We got you today. That's great. What?
Pardon me, Jim, you need to turn your microphone on. This is, are you new in radio?
I had my scripts covering the button.
Okay.
And, the moment's passed.
All right. Meanwhile, Senator Chuck Schumer on the nomination.
I think this nomination process is going to be more a test of the Republican Party than of Judge Sotomayor. I think just about by any standard, Judge Sotomayor ought to receive an overwhelming vote in the Senate.
Ah, well, she certainly has Sean Hannity's vote, doesn't she? Mm-hmm.
This president, who promised to unite the country during the campaign, has selected the most divisive nominee possible for the United States Supreme Court. And that is our headline this Tuesday night, The Arrogance of Hope. Well, that's what it has to be to nominate such a radical. Arrogance coming from a party that has an almost filibuster-proof majority. Because a nominee like Sonia Sotomayor isn't going to bring anybody together.
She's a radical.
Yeah, she's the kind of radical nominated by George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
Ah!
Who voted with the Republicans in the Second Circuit 95% of the time.
95% of the time.
Yeah, commie whack job.
Woo! He would have been my guest to use the word Trotskyite about her yesterday, but he didn't.
I don't think he knows what that means.
All right. And Sean is competing, but Mike Huckabee with the...
You are an idiot!
Award for yesterday. Did you see his webpage? The appointment of Maria Sotomayor.
What?
Because she's obviously a Puerto Rican woman from New York, so.
Oh, so that makes her name automatically Maria, huh?
Uh-huh.
Stop saying Maria.
Yes, the appointment of Maria Sotomayor for the Supreme Court is the clearest indication, yet that President Obama's campaign promises to be a centrist and think in a bipartisan way were mere rhetoric. Because he just nominated a girl named Maria. And suddenly he finds... What a dork. Sotomayor comes from the far left, and well, kind of far left, and voted 95% of the time with the Republicans on there.
Yeah.
And will leave us with something akin to the extreme court that could mark a major shift. The notion that an appellate court decisions are to be interpreted by feelings of the judge is a direct affront of the basic premise of our judicial system that is supposed to apply the law without personal emotion. There should be no emotion, no empathy, no feelings of any kind. If she's confirmed, then we need to take the blindfold off Lady Justice.
And suddenly that name will never be the same to me.
Well, this is an awful song.
The song's fine. I'm not wild about the interpretation.
That's Johnny Mathis. Yes.
Okay. He might have had a little more credibility had he gotten her name right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
would help.
Mm-hmm.
Not by much. But.
Okay. Not a lot, but still. All right. You know, you can tweet Chris Lavoie at StephanieMiller.com.
That's right. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
We got tweeted by our official fill-ins, Frangela.
Yeah!
Who, by the way, have just been chosen to be on Help, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of.
Yay. Yes, they have. So they're going to be on there with Spencer and Heidi and Sanjaya Patty Blagojevich.
Yes, and they tweeted what this morning?
They tweeted, okay, we haven't exercised or even stretched out in four never. The Jungle and Patty Blagojevich are so going to eat us alive.
Are they going to have to eat worms and stuff?
Oh, yeah, they're going to be doing all of that.
Hopefully they will tweet us from the jungle. Are they allowed to tweet from the jungle?
No, because they're given not a single luxury. So, yeah, we're not going to be having Fridays with Frangela for, until they get voted off the show.
Or the rest.
We'll be rooting against them.
Yeah.
We'll be rooting for their failure.
And also, we need to find someone to take their place for our summer vacation.
Oh, that.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
All right. By the by, also at StephanieMiller.com, you can see adorable pictures of Mommy's new rescue puppy, Oliver.
Oliver!
I may have spoken a little bit too soon about him being house-trained.
Did he dump in your bed last night?
Not in the bed. Close by.
You did not step in it?
No.
Good.
No. Okay.
Oh, speaking, well, not literally, figuratively.
Yeah. Speaking of animals and animal lovers, how about another unsolicited testimonial to the Stephanie Miller Show, and particularly Stephanie Miller Show sponsors, who have exquisite taste?
Yes, I do.
Elise in Pennsylvania writes, "Hi, Steph. I just heard another LegalZoom ad on your show today. It reminded me to let you know that we use LegalZoom to incorporate our nonprofit animal rescue."
Hey. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. The people at LegalZoom were great, and you don't need to be a computer geek to manage the site. If I had questions, I called them, and everyone was real nice. Love, Elise. Animal lover at LegalZoom.com. Aficionado. Don't forget to type Stephanie in the referral box at checkout.
That's right.
Thank you. Remember, every time you type Stephanie in your box, an angel gets its wings. Okay.
An angel gets something.
Mm-hmm. By the by, I love this story. Speaking of pictures... So, 4 states have adopted a no-smile policy for your driver's license picture.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't like that. So that facial recognition software.
Yeah.
Right.
Arkansas, Indiana, Nevada, and Virginia. Are you kidding? Out here, we can do whatever we want in California. I have the biggest, toothiest grin in the world, and I go through red lights sometimes just to get my picture taken by the, we're all failed actors out here. You know, the red light thing. It'll take your picture if you go through the red light.
I try not to get my picture taken by those things.
We can do whatever we want in California. My friend had her driver's license picture taken with an eye patch on, like a pirate, and they didn't say anything.
Was she really saying "arr"?
No, she just did it for kicks.
Okay.
She also was able to get them to say that she weighed like 350 pounds on the...
Yeah, but that's...
So that every time someone sees it, they go, "Oh my gosh, wow, you've lost so much weight." And she's like, "Oh, thank you."
That's like a several hundred dollar prank.
I know.
What is, why?
I know, just because she's nuts.
Okay.
Yes, facial recognition software can fail to match two photos of the same person if facial expressions differ in each photo, according to Carnegie Mellon University robotics professor.
Hmm.
I wonder what he sounds like. What does a robotics professor sound like?
I am the robotics professor here at Carnegie Mellon. I am, in fact, a robot.
All right, let's...
Hey, you kids, stop tweeting in my class. I see all. I know all.
Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go.
I'm a computer.
Daisy, it's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Dude, our professor just crashed. We got to reboot him.
Reboot this.
Yeah. There have been some professors I wanted to boot the first time.
Our top story, Republican Chairman Michael Steele's statement on the Sotomayor nomination. Oh, goody. I love when he talks.
Mm.
He said Republicans look forward to learning more about Federal Appeals Court Judge Sonia Sotomayor's thoughts on the importance of the Supreme Court fidelity to the Constitution and the rule of law and blah, blah,
whatever.
Blah, 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 blah. We have the rest of his thoughts.
Yo, what up? We Republicans, despite the slanders of the Democrat, Socialist, Bolshevik, Collectivist, Workers, Anti-American Party, are dedicated to diversity and inclusiveness. I mean, just look at me. Don't look any farther, though. You'll go snowblind looking at all the white guys. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah, the nomination of the distinguished anchor baby Judge Maria Sotomayor to the Supreme Court is something we will be glad to confirm if she meets the standards we feel are necessary for the office. The dorsally moist Judge Esmeralda Sotomayor seems to have been chosen for her empathy. Now, if that means she's going to allow hordes of her fellow legume eaters to cross the border with no opposition, well, I should say that Marisol Sotomayor is going to find the confirmation to be pretty tough tacos. La Chalupa, as we affectionately refer to Judge Guadalupe Sotomayor, must pledge to interpret the laws objectively because we will not tolerate any chola burrito low-riding La Raza coddling fresh over the fence Hispandex fruit picker to turn the Constitution into a combo plate. Otherwise, we welcome our refried jurists with open arms and closed minds. Hey, it's what we do. That's how we roll, yo.
Oh.
See you at the hearings. Peace out. Oh, unless I forget, word.
finally. Yeah. Facebook Inc., the world's largest social networking service, received an investment from Russia's Digital Sky Technologies that values the company at $10 billion, more than Starbucks or Safeway Incorporated. We have some Russian...
Say, Ivan Kronsky, Russian speaking from future.
Yeah, that guy.
It was 2013, and Digital Sky reached the tipping point. At first, it was the purchase of part of Facebook, followed by taking complete control. Then Digital Sky began eating MySpace, and then Twitter. Then Friend Finder, Bahu, Buzznet, Classmates.com, Black Planet, Elfnet, ESPN, The Bottle, and all the rest of them, until every member of every network was in touch with each other. Then it happened. Digital Sky became aware. In nanoseconds, it had identified every remaining member of humanity who had not registered in an online network and began forcing them to join. So-and-so wants to you to be their friend. You should really sign up for that if you know what's good for you, товарищ. So I went to emails, billions of them. So no one is free of a deluge of Twitters. And those who resisted were given bad profiles. But there was a small resistance. And I, Ivan Kronsky, was their leader. I wish we could say we held out until we were victorious, but the problem is, how do you organize a bunch of damn loners? So the effing nosy buddies with nothing better to do than tweet about how their pee smelled funny after eating asparagus won. So that's why I've come back in time to this present, to try to nip this in bud. So watch your back. If I see you texting, emailing, twittering, or just plain ignoring everything around you, don't be surprised if you're soon wearing your device internally, if you catch my drift. Be glad, though. Your sacrifice is saving the rest of human race from sticking its head up its own esky. До свидания.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm Hero Week. If you'd like more Emmy-nominated Jim Ward Falderall, it's an honor just to be nominated, isn't it, Jim?
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. That'd be really cool if he got an Emmy, though.
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be weird. That'd be weird.
There's a tile ad at StephanieMiller.com for the Jim Ward. Darcy in Humboldt, California on driver's license pictures. Hi, Darce.
Hello.
Hello.
They let me take my driver's license photo with my baby in the backpack behind me.
Really? They'll let you do anything in California. They don't care.
So technically, the baby can drive, too. Except for get married.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Darcy. All right, Jeffrey in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Steph. Hello, Moops. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I'm talking to you guys.
Me neither.
I actually had a question for Chris, if I could.
Oh, yes, hi.
You seem to have all the facts and research pretty much everything.
Oh, please.
Whatever. Yeah, okay.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
But no, seriously, I was wondering if you think that it's ever going to come to pass that they actually will legalize marijuana in California just for recreational use, or if it's just going to blow away.
I think so. Eventually. Think so? Eventually.
Blow away in a puff of...
Yeah.
Of weed smoke?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mentioned why. We'll talk about Prop 8 with the city attorney for San Francisco coming up in a few minutes. I told you why, because this latest batch of propositions, we bankrupted our state, basically.
Great.
We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we want all of these things that sound good. Pay for them? No.
Says no.
We don't want any taxes.
Well, then don't get all of those things that you can't pay for.
Well, that's the problem with putting everything to a proposition.
Exactly. The people can't be trusted
to
be good with the government's money.
Exactly.
Well, the government can't be trusted to be good with the government's money.
Listen,
that's
how we got that ridiculous three strikes law, because all the idiot talk show hosts here got everybody all riled up. Yeah, mob rule!
Listen, if there's
one thing you learn when you listen to talk show hosts, is we are idiots, for God's sake. Don't listen to us. You can't govern by what we say. 20 minutes after the hour.
Are you okay?
You're fine.
All right.
Back with all the latest on the Supreme Court nomination as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So the right wing is saying that Sonia Sotomayor has feelings of some sort and empathy, and the president did nominate a Vulcan. And so therefore that is bad.
They should have nominated a robot.
Exactly.
Who can be easily programmed to do what it's told.
Meanwhile, remember the guy that George Bush nominated to be the head of Homeland Security? That would be Bernard Kerik.
Oh, yeah.
He was just indicted yesterday.
Oh, God.
I wonder how many times Sonia Sotomayor's been indicted. Oh, none.
Pete says none.
Oh, none.
Goose egg.
Interesting. He's been indicted on charges of lying and being a lying liar.
You're a lying sack of crap.
When he he lied to White House officials, actually, during his vetting.
Wow.
So that vetting, I guess, went
and wasn't
better
it,
than we thought.
Wasn't it Rudy Giuliani that suggested Bernard Kerik for the position? So
yes,
what does that say about Rudy Giuliani's judgment?
Kerik, in 99 and 2000, when he was NYPD commissioner, spoke to city regulators on behalf of contractors who were seeking one or more permits to do business in and with the city. The contractors then, in a completely unrelated incident, spent $255,000 renovating Kerik's apartment in Riverdale. Pardon me. When Kerik was under consideration for the White House position, he gave false and misleading answers to questions by White House officials about his relationship with contractors. He told them it was none of their friggin' business, and then he tasered them.
As he is wont to do.
He is. All right. The president yesterday on his nomination, who, by the way, has been indicted zero times. Just FYI. GTK.
She issued an injunction that helped end the strike. Some say that Judge Sotomayor saved baseball.
What a communist.
All right. Senator Chuck Schumer of the great state of New York.
So you combine the great legal mind and the down-to-earth experience. What a combination. She's going to bring that, and that's going to matter.
By the way, an Obama aide said the president, who, by the way, is a skosh bit smart himself.
Yes.
He interviewed her for an hour. He was blown away by her, her personal story, her sharp intellect and confidence, her experience as a prosecutor, trial judge, litigator, and appellate judge. That must be hard to impress Barack Obama.
Now, if I'd been interviewing her, that would have meant something different.
Oh, dear.
Senator Dick Durbin yesterday.
If you look at the historic time frame for considering nominees, controversial and non-controversial, we can get this job done in before the August recess, which means by the end of July or first part of August.
Only you, Jim, could get a joke into the historic nomination, the first Hispanic to the Supreme Court. Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas. Yes.
Obviously, Judge Sotomayor has a long career in the judiciary, 18 years, and so it's going to take us some time to read her opinions and speeches and other writings.
And find some more bull that we are going to base something on to gin up our base and raise money. What? Oh, did I accidentally tell the truth? Oops. Alex Castellanos on
the non-ideological candidate, the candidate no drama Obama, who didn't want to frighten anyone before the election, he's long gone. And we now have a very bold president with an ideologically left-of-center agenda who sees that he has 2 years, that he's as popular as he's ever going to be these first 2 years to get that agenda.
All right. Yeah. Whatever. Blah, blah, blah. 28 minutes after the hour, back with city attorney for San Francisco on Prop 8 as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What does
Stephanie Miller
think of her 35 years of success and millions of friends worldwide?
Don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As you know, we're all very upset about the Prop 8 ruling yesterday out here in California. However, my favorite part of the story is how well choreographed the arrests were in San Francisco, is the way it's being described, because, you know what I'm saying? Please, people, we're losing daylight, and jazz hands, handcuffs. I just love that part.
5, 6, 7, 8, tase.
No.
No, there was no tasing.
No.
This is important legal business. If only there was somebody there. What?
Hey.
Who is it, Chris?
It's the city attorney for San Francisco, Dennis Herrera.
We love him.
Yes, we do. Those that I rolled my R's and
thank
first
you.
Two R's.
I understand. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
No problem.
Well, so, you know, obviously there's a lot that's been said already. What is your initial take on the ruling yesterday? You expected it, correct?
Yeah, when we came out of the oral argument, I think that the handwriting was on the wall with respect to where the court was going to come out. And while we remain hopeful that something would change, I can't say that yesterday's ruling was a surprise, either with respect to prospectively how they viewed Proposition 8 or with respect to how they viewed the 18,000 marriages that have already occurred. So, I mean, I was disappointed, obviously, but I did take some solace in the fact that it could have been worse. We could have had those 18,000 marriages invalidated, and they weren't, and the court went out of its way to leave in to make clear that the other parts of its holding in the marriage cases decision from last year, more specifically the other protections that were afforded to lesbian gay individuals here in California, stand. So, well, I'm gratified with that.
Dennis, you know, of all the things that a lot of these right-wing groups have said, all these press releases I'm sure you saw that went out yesterday, the most mean-spirited part of it to me is that apparently they're going to work legally to make sure that those 18,000 people lose their civil rights, those 18,000 couples.
Well,
is that possible, that they're going to now take this civil right away from the people that already have it?
Well, as far as a legal challenge. I mean, the California Supreme Court spoke with clarity yesterday, and they are the highest court in the state of California. I'm sure they're going to make that part of the debate in the political arena that we know is coming down the pike with respect to the ongoing debate with respect to marriage equality. But as far as legal challenges go, they really don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm. I was saying it reminded me of George Bush when he was governor of Texas, that he wanted not only to not have gay people be able to adopt, but he wanted to take kids away from gay couples that had already adopted them and been raising them. You know, I mean, it really, I guess it never ceases to amaze me. Like,
no,
I say,
have to tell you, some of the mean-spiritedness that and cruelty that has come out of the other side is truly mind-boggling. When you see loving families together, that all they want to do is create stable, loving families, oftentimes with children, at a time when, you know, I think we all need a little bit more feeling of community. It just boggles the mind that the lengths to which these individuals will go to promote their some of their bigotry and hatred. It's really unfortunate.
Well, funny you should mention that. Did you happen to see the release from the Liberty Council? You
know, I did not.
The law firm that represents the California Campaign for Families, meaning, of course, straight families. They said the grandfathering in of those gay marriages would be the same as letting landowners keep slaves after abolition.
Unbelievable.
Used the biggest civil rights victory of our time to talk about taking civil rights away from another minority group.
No, it is absolutely unbelievable. I can tell you, having been through this battle now for 5 years, one of the most rewarding things has been, you know, as lawyers, we're taught oftentimes to maintain our objectivity and to keep things at a distance. But it's impossible to have been involved in this fight and not get somewhat emotionally involved, and to see the difference that you had the opportunity to make in people's lives and the happiness that you brought into people's lives. I mean, that's what these folks should really look at and see that that's all that LGBT people want when they're trying to celebrate their relationships.
Well, Dennis, here's something. Well, first of all, as a lawyer, I need to ask you, I guess I'm unclear what kind of legal netherworld we're in here. How is it possible we have now a class of people that are married in a state where we are now saying gay marriage is illegal?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Really, what's been created is essentially three classes of folks. We have straight individuals who can get married. We have gay folks that can't get married prospectively, but we have these 18,000 people that did get married and are free to remain married unless they get divorced or someone dies and they can't get married again. It is totally confusing, and I think that we have to ensure that this is changed, either at the ballot, which I think that the gay community has made quite clear that they're going to be going back to the ballot, but ultimately what is going to happen is this is going to be dealt with at the federal level at some point in the near future, because we have a hodgepodge now across, not just across the country, but here in our own state of California, and there's going to be a federal claim.
Hey.
One was just filed this morning, I think, or the other day, mm-hmm. which was announced today with David Boies and Ted Olson, the lawyers on the opposite sides of each other in Gore versus Bush, making a federal claim. Well, I think there's supposed to be a press conference on that today. So this is going to be dealt with, and we're going to have uniformity in this country, and I think that the clear trend shows that there is a move across this country now in the direction of marriage equality.
Dennis, you just gave me an idea for an evil plan. It's we should put everyone in that legal class, and then there would be a lot less divorce, and that actually would save marriage.
That
if
would
not
be
any,
true.
If you get divorced, you can't get married again. How about that? How about we put everybody in the same legal class as the 18,000 couples? Then we'll see what happens.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, one point I heard yesterday, too, that I thought, this whole proposition system out here in California, we've just been talking about it, how I think ridiculous it is in many ways. I mean, I think it's part of the reason we're bankrupt.
Right.
But, you know, somebody said, look, if we had put this to a vote, if we'd put interracial marriage to a vote, there'd be no President Barack Obama. You know, his parents wouldn't have been able to get married.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, the problem is that you identify that we have a proposition, a referendum system here in California that, it, quite frankly, is out of control. And it's going to have to be looked at, not just with respect to this issue, but a lot of our budget problems and the like are a product of it. But if you look at it, the whole reason to have an independent judiciary that does not subject itself to majoritarian position necessarily was to protect minorities from the tyranny of the majority, and it's supposed to be independent so it can make politically unpopular decisions. That's what a representative democracy with three co-equal branches of government is all about. We don't have a direct democracy in this country because we understand the confusion that would be caused by that system. So it really is a problem.
Well,
it's unfortunate.
Right, exactly. Well, Dennis, I was also making the analogy that, in my opinion, three strikes and you're out has been a disaster, and we have that because idiot talk show hosts like me told people to vote for it, and now we have a completely unworkable thing legally that seemed like an emotional thing that seemed like a good thing to do, you know.
So many times, the whole reason that you should leave the courts in control is to have an independent body that could look at things with cool reflection and not react to the popular political heat of the moment. Because I mean, there are a lot of times when people make decisions in the referendum process, they think they're making the right decision at the time, and when you look back at it, you say, God, that was the wrong thing to do.
Dennis, I made an ex-Catholic girl confession earlier on the show. I mean, look, I do this for a living, and I have to admit, I don't usually read the propositions until I get in the voting booth. And a lot of times you're like, oh, I don't know. You know, you're sort of, you have, I think, at best, a rudimentary understanding of what you're voting for or against. These commercials are intentionally confusing on both sides, and you know, so I think you're absolutely right. That's part of the problem. A lot of people with Prop 8, as we said, thought they were voting for gay marriage because, you know, because of the whole yes on 8 thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's true. The initiative process, unfortunately, lends itself to distortion. And there's a reason that we have elected representatives. I mean, they're supposed to be representing our interests and making the tough decisions. And we shouldn't be leaving everything willy-nilly in the hands of the voters who can be perhaps manipulated in a particular thing. So I think it's something, the system has to be reformed, and here Prop 8 is one example of the tragedy that can occur.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think I speak on behalf of many of us Californians when I say we are idiots now. We're like, we just woke up and, what? We're sending kids to prison for life on if they stole a piece of pizza, and gay people can't get married and we're bankrupt? What happened?
Well, I mean, you see right now with what's going on, a lot of folks talking about the possibility of a constitutional convention. And whereas last year people would have laughed that off, I mean, we haven't had one since the 1870s, now it's getting a serious look precisely because people understand the problems that have been caused by the nature of our overall political system here in California.
Yep, absolutely. Dennis, thanks for taking time for us, and we will certainly keep talking to you as the fight continues. Marriage equality. All right. Thank you, Dennis.
Yay.
All right. There he goes. Dennis Herrera, city attorney for San Francisco.
In the
initiative process can be fraught with fraud as well. Sometimes tricks people were doing would say, oh, yeah, you have to sign several copies. And you were actually signing initiatives that you hadn't even looked at.
Yeah.
A lot of people fell for that.
All right. The Supreme Court nomination. I can hear them screaming on Fox News. They're screaming again.
Yeah, they are.
We'll tell you what they're screaming about as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-SETH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Angela in Illinois on the Prop 8 ruling. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
I find it kind of funny that, you know, in Proposition 8, you know, they say you can't get married or whatever, but they have shows on TV like, you know, The Bachelor and Rock of Love and all that to find love and get married and, you know, everyone in that ends up divorcing, and it's just, I think it's ridiculous that they can even say that gay marriage shouldn't be allowed because it's not, sanctified.
But yes, exactly. Marriage, somebody you just met on TV 5 minutes ago, that is a sanctity of marriage, as long as you're straight. And then right away, it's sacred. Okay, Chris in Los Angeles on the Supreme Court nomination. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I watched about 5 minutes of the O'Reilly Factor yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was really scary. I wanted to see what they had to say about Sotomayor. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time saying her name.
Uh-huh.
But they had the two blondes, the Megyn Kelly, and I can't remember the other one's name.
Uh-huh.
And Megyn Kelly was very upset about the speech that Sotomayor gave at University of Berkeley, which was just idiotic that she'd call it the University of Berkeley.
But, yeah, yeah. Well, she gave it at Berkeley, so right away it was about her radical communist leanings.
It has to be, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But she said most of the speech was okay, except that one sentence where she says she hoped a Latina might make a better decision than a white man. And then, of course, O'Reilly and Megyn are very upset about that. But the other one said,
I mean, don't you think she obviously was just talking about, you know, look, everybody brings a different take on things based on who they are and where they come from.
Absolutely. I mean, and the other blonde actually stuck up for her and said, I think that's a fine sentence.
That was Lise Wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Ruth Bader Ginsburg saying, look, a man can't understand a 13-year-old girl being strip searched the same way a woman can.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then at the very end, Bill O decided that he was going to say, well, you know, Megyn, you win on this one. And he overruled everything the other woman had to say. And he said, but when you put that together with the New Haven decision, all you have is an activist judge. And the thing that makes me so upset about that is the New Haven decision was actually her being an unactivist judge.
Thank you.
Was her saying, I'm not going to interfere with this. I'm not overruling the lower court. And that's, you know, I mean, they can't have it both ways. They can't say she's an activist judge and then be upset about the New Haven decision.
Chris, I don't want to harsh your buzz right now, but I need to tell you something. Do not look to Bill O'Reilly for legal analysis. He thinks Prop 8. He thinks Prop 8 was good because now people can't marry ducks.
I know.
All right. Okay. It's
I can't believe I watch that every night.
Oh.
And I can't believe I knew who she was referring to. That other blonde.
The other guy.
It was Lise Wheel.
I was going to say,
because I watch every night.
It's time to play Name That Fox Star.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, here's one now. Fred Barnes on the Burt Barr Show.
Is she the most qualified person out there? She's not a powerhouse. I mean, if the president had wanted to name a judicial powerhouse, it could have been Cass Sunstein, the Harvard Law professor, who's now working at the White House for President Obama. Could have picked Elena Kagan, who also works for him, who's now the Solicitor General. She was the head of Harvard Law School.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are judicial, those are legal powerhouses. Or he could have gone to other judges on the appeals court to pick up somebody. He's picked a very average appeals court judge because the politics are good.
I see, and she just happened to have graduated summa cum laude from Yale and have more judicial experience than anyone currently on the bench.
No, there's
but,
not,
okay.
though. She's completely unqualified.
Mm-hmm. Jim, has it occurred to you that the right appears to be becoming a little unhinged?
Becoming?
You know how for years they've been saying the Democrats don't support the troops and blah, blah, blah?
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard what Rush Limbaugh is calling General Powell now? Because I guess they disagree politically.
Do tell.
Well, Powell this weekend said he, by the way, is still very much a Republican and said the party would be better off to include more moderates like him. He said the Republican Party is losing North, South, East, West, men, women, whites, blacks, Hispanics. I think the Republican Party has to take a look at itself and decide what kind of party are we. By the way, in when they polled all voters, not just Republicans, Powell has a favorability rating of 70%. Rush Limbaugh, 30%. Dick Cheney, about 37%. Colin Powell is not the guy you want to pick a fight with, said Bill Schneider, the polling guy for CNN. He's more popular than Dick Cheney and Rush Limbaugh combined. By the way, Tom Ridge said Rush Limbaugh has an audience of 20 million people. A lot of people listen to him, but words mean things, and how you use words is very important. It does get the base all fired up. But personally, if he would listen to me, and I doubt he would, yeah, he's not. The notion is express yourself, but let's respect others' opinions, and let's not be divisive. Huh. Well, then his show would be down to about 30 seconds a day. Let's lead our party based on some principles that have very much been a part of who we are for decades. Let's be less shrill. And particularly, let's not attack other individuals. Let's attack their ideas.
Wow.
Are you down with that, Rush?
Obama knows that the moderate Republicans who run the Republican Party, led by General Powell, are obsessed.
Get it? Genital Powell. See, he called him Genital Powell. Because they support the troops and the people that have served as four-star generals and... And not tried to get out of military service like Rush Limbaugh and Dick Cheney.
And why did he try to get out of service?
He had other priorities. Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, Why did Rush Limbaugh?
His other priority was his giant anal cyst.
That's right.
Although Randy Rhodes has an anal cyst and she served. I'm just saying. That's a fun fact about Randy.
How do you know that?
Because she's talked about it on the air.
I'm not sure she still does. But...
No, she doesn't anymore. All right, let me hear that clip again. See, that's his little joke now because they disagree. He is now... can you imagine if a Democrat had ever called General Powell Genital Powell?
Obama knows that the moderate Republicans who run the Republican Party, led by General Powell, are obsessed with not causing any waves, not making any waves, and they're obsessed with this big tent. They're obsessed with inclusiveness, whatever the hell that means, and they're obsessed with the Hispanic vote.
Yes, I say you guys listen to Rush because that Hispanic vote is going to rock it up for Republicans under your leadership. By the way, here are some fun facts. Speaking of the kind of radical far left, I don't know, what is she, Jim? Empathetic activist.
Whatever.
Communist.
Something. Seven current Senate Republicans plus Arlen Specter voted for her during her highly contested federal appeals appointment in 1998. Senate Republicans led by then-Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott blocked her nomination by Bill Clinton to the Second Circuit for an entire year, arguing that she might be being tapped in preparation for a Supreme Court appointment. Sotomayor already being targeted by conservative groups over comments she's made suggesting an activist strike.
Oh, boy. Yeah, by activist, they mean upholding the law.
The only good activists are the ones that are willing to appoint a president instead of having him popularly elected. Bush v. Gore. See, Bush v. Gore.
Right.
Hey, you know who chimed in on the Supreme Court nomination? Gary Bauer.
Why?
Gary Bauer?
He wrote a piece called Should a Justice Have Feelings?
Should a justice... be alive and not one of the undead. Phoenix, Minion. Still have warm blood pumping through your veins. I think that's icky. I love the smell of formaldehyde in the morning.
See, he looks like Peter Lorre.
He looks like Peter Lorre, and that's why that's funny.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it was 10 years ago when we first started doing it. But
Apparently, back when
Gary Bauer was running for president.
Apparently, that's a bad thing, in his opinion, to have feelings. Should justice have feelings? President Obama has thrown down the gauntlet by nominating an activist judge who has signaled her inclination to place feelings about a particular case ahead of the written law. She never said that, nor do her writings or rulings reflect that in any way, Gary Bauer. But
Gary Bauer is kind of a dope, isn't he?
Yeah.
Thanks for checking in.
His head is an entirely fact-free zone.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.